Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Authorities are searching for a black SUV after a freeway shooting that injured two people on Interstate 8 in East County early Thursday morning. Hear the details about this frightening act of violence on today's show. Speaking of freeway frights, we'll tell you about some severe flooding that set some local motorist vehicles afloat in this week's storm. Learn why it's not safe to go in the water off San Diego's coast, at least not for the next couple of days after these rains. Today we'll have the latest twists and turns in a legal case against the Grossmont Union High School District that has become a veritable roller coaster ride, but the latest court action bolsters Alpine residents' efforts to secure funding to build a high school in Alpine. Which San Diego representative is the richest man in Congress? And which San Diego congressional member is $500,000 in debt? Find out on today's show. We also have several important health reports. Open enrollment begins this week for Covered California. The first flu death has occurred locally. The state has levied fines against insurance companies over errors in directories of doctors, and consumers who were forced to pay for out-of-network treatment may soon have recourse to seek reimbursement. Plus, hear about efforts in California to reduce soaring prescription drug prices. On the presidential campaign trail, hear about demands made by Republicans to control future debates and why some leading candidates have refused to sign a letter endorsing those demands. From Public News Service, we'll have the latest national and international news, including the updates on a plane crash that many experts now believe may have been caused by a terrorist bomb. On Tribal Beat, hear about a controversy over an oil pipeline opposed by Native Americans, and also get the latest updates on the search for local missing man Elijah Bear Diaz. On Destination East County, learn about the latest festivals and events coming up in November, including some major wine tasting events, a plant extravaganza, concerts, a dinner theater, a storytelling celebration, and the Mother Goose Parade. Hear about efforts to unhood the Ku Klux Klan and its members waged by the hacktivist Anonymous and his supporters. From Public News Service, also learn why consumer groups are working to halt forced arbitration contracts. Today we'll also replay our interview with Carmen Bonilla from a remarkable local group that brings joy to people with disabilities, the Wheelchair Dancers. With El Nino set to bring more heavy rains this winter, hear where you can get free sand and bags to protect your property, and also why FEMA is urging Californians to buy flood insurance. Plus on Green Scene, learn about a new study that has found problems with the siting of large desert solar projects in California. We'll have all these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. A freeway shooting in East County shortly before 1 a.m. on Thursday injured the driver of a Lexus and a passenger. According to Officer Kevin Perlstein with the California Highway Patrol, the Lexus was traveling east on Interstate 8 at the Las Coches Road exit in unincorporated El Cajon when a dark SUV pulled up alongside the Lexus. At least 7 rounds were fired from the SUV into the Lexus. The driver of the Lexus, a 43-year-old woman from Alpine, and her passenger, a 31-year-old man, were transported by ambulance to Sharp Memorial Hospital in San Diego with non-life-threatening injuries. The freeway was shut down temporarily during the investigation. Anyone with information on this violent attack is asked to please contact the CHP El Cajon Area Office at area code 619-401-2000.
This is Eberena with a weather update from East County Magazine. This week's storm brought lightning, thunder, and heavy rains across Southern California, offering welcome relief from drought but wreaking havoc on area highways. On Tuesday night, all lanes flooded on State Route 94 near the college exit, and vehicles exiting on Federal Boulevard quickly became stuck in rising floodwaters up to the hoods, sending some cars afloat and necessitating rescues. In Harbison Canyon, boulders tumbled onto a roadway, and accidents slowed traffic along both urban and rural highways. The deluge fell on already rain-soaked areas from lighter showers earlier in the day. By 1 p.m. Tuesday, over an inch of rain had already fallen in Lemon Grove and many mountain areas, with nearly 1.4 inches recorded at the Pine Hills area near Julian. A power outage left thousands in the dark in portions of the Lake Murray area, Allied Gardens, Del Cerro, Mission Gorge, Grantville, and Sycamore Canyon, as well as some San Diego neighborhoods. In Northern California, snow fell in the Sierras, bringing promise of potential relief from the drought. Mudslides plagued some areas, but the storm also brought moments of rare beauty, such as a double rainbow tweeted by the U.S. Forest Service arcing over its Angeles National Forest headquarters. The weather is expected to clear up this weekend with partial clouds Saturday and sunny skies returning by Sunday.
This is DeVario Bell with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The county's Department of Environmental Health is warning that this week's rainfall has brought urban runoff to beaches countywide. Swimmers, surfers, and other ocean users are warned that levels of bacteria can rise significantly in ocean and bay waters, especially near storm drains, creeks, rivers, and lagoon outlets that discharge urban runoff. Urban runoff may contain large amounts of bacteria from a variety of sources. Activities such as swimming, surfing, and diving should be avoided in all coastal waters for 72 hours following rain, even if no warning signs are posted. This includes all coastal beaches and all of Mission Bay and San Diego Bay.
It's been a roller coaster week for both sides in a lawsuit filed against the Grossmont Union High School District over its failure to build a high school in Alpine despite two bond measures approved by voters to fund construction. The case had been set for trial in December after Superior Court Judge Joel Pressman found that the plaintiffs, the Alpine Union School District, and Alpine Taxpayers for Bond Accountability had good cause to pursue action against the district. But last week, Judge Pressman inexplicably reversed himself and dismissed the entire case, finding that Prop U and Prop H language did not compel the Grossmont District to build the school. But just 1 hour later, an appellate court ruled on a related matter, and the appellate court found that the Grossmont District violated its promise to build an Alpine High School, and that the bonds clearly did require that. The appellate court also found Grossmont's claims that building a high school would cause economic hardship, including layoffs, to be incredible. The appeals court affirmed Judge Pressman's earlier order for the Grossmont District to set aside $42 million in bond money to build the school, pending full adjudication of the claim's merits at trial, a trial that Judge Pressman had just precluded by tossing the whole case out of court. In response to the appellate court decision, however, Judge Pressman on Thursday announced that he would vacate his dismissal of the case, breathing new life into the action. The judge is holding a status conference with counsel for both sides Friday to reconsider the Alpine Advocate's motion for summary adjudication, and the outcome is pending as we record this show. Ralph Swenson, the superintendent of the Grossmont District, issued this statement. We remain optimistic that after further consideration of the evidence, the court will come to the same conclusion as issued in the final ruling and ultimately dismiss this matter. The superintendent included a statement from the district's attorney, who notes that the Court of Appeals affirmed the preliminary injunction, adding, it has left it to the trial court to decide the case on a full consideration of the evidence. But Ian Friedman, attorney for the Alpine Union School District, told East County Magazine, the Alpine District is encouraged by the trial court's recent reversal in light of the Fourth Appellate District Court's determination that language of Proposition H and U contain a promise by Grossmont to construct a new high school in Alpine. We intend to continue all efforts to see these promises fulfilled with the construction of a new high school in Alpine. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
It's official. San Diego Congressman Daryl Issa is the richest man in Congress, worth over $250 million, according to data from Roll Call published by the Los Angeles Times. Among San Diego's other congressional representatives, Scott Peters has a net worth of over $40 million, while Juan Vargas and Susan Davis are worth $1.3 and $1.2 million, respectively. Trailing the pack is Congressman Duncan Hunter, who has a negative net worth, meaning he is in debt, over $500,000 with zero assets reported. California's two senators are on financially solid ground. Senator Dianne Feinstein has a net worth of over $52 million, mostly in investments, while Senator Barbara Boxer has a net worth of $1.1 million, mostly in trusts. This has been Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ Radio. The enrollment period is now open for Covered California, which aims to sign up 450,000 new enrollees by the end of January, when the third open enrollment season ends. this time covered California, is reaching out to the public with an ad campaign and bus tour seeking to find more people who are uninsured. Currently, about 2.2 million people in California who are eligible for a subsidized plan or Medi-Cal lack insurance, though that's a big improvement from 2 years ago when the number was 5 million. Those who fail to get any insurance now face penalties under federal law. But the best reason to get coverage is to assure protection when you need it the most. The Spotlight on Coverage Tour points out the need for coverage for the unexpected, noting that covered California patients have used their benefits to cover hip replacements, organ transplants, heart surgeries, cancer treatments, and other major procedures. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is Ed Barreno with a health report from East County Magazine on KNSJ. County health officials report the first death from influenza or flu-related complications this season, a 90-year-old man who died October 28th. That's 3 months earlier than last year's flu season when the first death did not occur until January. Last season, 97 flu-related deaths occurred countywide. County Public Health Officer Wilma Wooten recommends that everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine, particularly people at highest risk of developing serious complications, including those over age 65, people with underlying medical conditions, and pregnant women. According to the county's first influenza watch report of the season issued last week, there have only been 80 total lab-confirmed influenza cases as of October 24th. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said recently influenza activity is also low across the United States. The current flu vaccines offer protection against pandemic H1N1 as well as influenza A, H3N2, and influenza B strains. The vaccine is available throughout San Diego County at doctor's offices and retail pharmacies. County public health centers have flu vaccine available for children and adults with no medical insurance. For a list of locations, visit sdiz.org or call 211. In addition to getting vaccinated, county health officials advise that people should also do the following to avoid getting sick. Wash your hands thoroughly and often. Use hand sanitizers when possible. Stay away from sick people. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth throughout the day. Clean commonly touched surfaces. And finally, if you are sick, stay home and avoid contact with others.
The enrollment period is now open for Covered California, which aims to sign up 450,000 new enrollees by the end of January, when the third open enrollment season ends. This time, Covered California is reaching out to the public with an ad campaign and bus tour seeking to find more people who are uninsured. Currently, about 2.2 million people in California who are eligible for a subsidized plan or Medi-Cal lack insurance, though that's a big improvement from 2 years ago when the number was 5 million. Those who fail to get any insurance now face penalties under federal law. But the best reason to get coverage is to assure protection when you need it the most. The Spotlight on Coverage Tour points out the need for coverage for the unexpected, noting that Covered California patients have used their benefits to cover hip replacements, organ transplants, heart surgeries, cancer treatments, and other major procedures. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Amid a public outcry over soaring prescription drug prices, President Barack Obama's administration has announced it will hold a public forum on drug prices on November 20th. A spotlight on the problem arose last month amid revelations that hedge fund manager Martin Shkreli raised prices overnight on a drug to treat life-threatening infections from $13.50 to $750. The forum will include consumers, insurers, and pharmaceutical companies, as well as other stakeholders, The Hill reports. The high and growing cost of drugs has created hardships for families, employers, and states. The White House invitation states, specialty medications represent only 1% of all prescriptions, but in 2014, these medications resulted in over 31% of all drug spending. Senator Bernie Sanders first drew attention to the issue on the presidential campaign trail, and Hillary Clinton also quickly jumped on board. Both candidates have denounced hefty drug price hikes and rolled out plans of their own to control prescription drug prices, such as allowing Medicare to negotiate mass discounts, a plan the pharmaceutical industry strongly opposes. Drug prices rose 12.6% last year, the highest growth since 2002, according to the U.S. Health and Human Services Department. A new poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation reveals that 77% of those polled ranked making sure high-cost drugs are affordable as their top health priority, and that includes 73% of Republicans polled. Meanwhile, some drug cost relief is in sight for Californians. The California Drug Price Relief Act, a proposed ballot measure, would cap the price paid for prescription drugs by state programs at the same levels paid by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Covered California, the state's insurance exchange, has also taken action, becoming the first exchange in the U.S. to cap co-payments on most plans for outpatient prescription drugs needed to treat life-threatening conditions such as cancer, AIDS, or epilepsy. The limit is capped at $250 per drug per month. In addition, Governor Brown signed Assembly Bill 339 into law last month. This new law imposes a similar cap on drug copayments for those who buy their insurance privately outside of the covered California exchange. Advocates of the ballot measure say they have turned in substantially more than enough signatures to the Secretary of State than needed to qualify, although verification is pending. The pharmaceutical industry has raised $10 million so far to defeat this measure, the Mercury News reports. Supporters say the initiative, if approved by voters, would help over 5 million more Californians, including non-HMO members of Medi-Cal, retirees in the state public employee and teachers' pension systems, state prison inmates, and Californians who receive AIDS drugs from a government assistance program. This flurry of actions to control drug costs in California comes after headlines over soaring drug prices, such as Gilead Sciences' drug Sovaldi here, which cures hepatitis C, but it costs $84,000 for a 12-week treatment. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barreno with a health report. Two major health insurance companies have been fined $650,000 by California for providing inaccurate information in doctor directories. In addition, class action lawsuits have been filed on behalf of patients overcharged as a result of those errors. Plus, the state is urging patients to file complaints to get help seeking refunds. The Sacramento Bee reports that errors were found in over 25% of online doctor listings provided by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of California, ranging from errors in addresses to doctors listed who were not covered by the plans. That led to some patients being charged hefty out-of-network fees for medical visits they believed were covered. The problems affected both patients in covered California and those covered by private insurers. The fines are minimal compared to the $38 million in refunds that Blue Shield has paid out to patients, and now Anthem is also expected to pay out reimbursements as part of a pending class action lawsuit settlement. A new bill, SB 137, has also been signed into law by Governor Brown. Once it takes effect in July 2016, it will require all insurance companies in California to update online directories weekly and printed directories quarterly. Doctors must verify any changes to their listings and can be fined if they fail to do so. If you believe you are entitled to reimbursement for paying out-of-network fees due to an error in your insurer's directory, call your insurance company using the number on the back of your member card. If you do not receive satisfaction, you can file a complaint with the Department of Managed Healthcare at healthhelp.ca.gov.
The Chargers' injury woes continue as Keenan Allen is bitten by the injury bug. Allen will miss the rest of the season with a lacerated kidney. He suffered the injury Sunday against Baltimore, taking him out of the game. 12 Chargers were injured and taken out of that game, according to Yahoo Sports. The Chargers have placed Allen on the injured reserve, where he will remain for the rest of the season. This puts a screeching halt to Allen's third season, in which he had 67 catches for 725 yards. He has 4 touchdowns in 8 games. With Sunday's close loss to Baltimore, San Diego drops to 2-6 on the season. This has been Liz Alpert with a sports report on KNSJ.
A draft list of demands from Republican candidates to media seeking to limit tough debate questions and other debate criteria has been met with ridicule from late-night comics and the media. Now some campaigns are backing off of the demands, with several candidates refusing to sign a letter with demands slated to be sent to media outlets. If media refused to comply, the GOP slate threatened to yank debates or move them to a conservative forum. Ben Carson's campaign pushed for the demands after objecting to tough questions raised at a debate aired by CNBC. Carson said he wanted moderators to be, quote, interested in disseminating the information about the candidates as opposed to, you know, gotcha, you did this, and defend yourself on that, unquote. But media raised serious questions over the demands, which included the following: limiting tough questions, not showing audience reactions, prohibiting candidates from questioning each other, not requiring candidates to raise hands before interrupting, and even controlling the temperature of the debate forum. But now, at least six of the leading Republican candidates have said that they won't sign the list of campaign debate demands. According to CBS, Jeb Bush has stated, quote, I'm a big boy. As long as the rules are established and everybody plays by the rules, I'm okay, unquote. Senator Ted Cruz said he didn't think that candidates ought to be complaining, saying they don't want hard questions or they want to limit the number of debates. Donald Trump said as long as there's a room and a podium, quote, let's get going because I really don't care that much, unquote. Carly Fiorina said her campaign prefers to discuss concerns directly with networks and with voters, not behind closed doors. John Kasich and Chris Christie have also refused to sign the letter, while several other GOP campaigns have not yet announced their decisions. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast. I'm Mike Clifford. In focus on our nationwide rundown, the British suspend flights to Sharm el-Sheikh. Presidential candidates get a GUI message as they get on the New Hampshire ballot. We'll tell you about a personal approach to targeting teen substance abuse and a debate over the fate of Yellowstone grizzlies. Topping our news, the British government suspending flights to the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The New York Times quotes British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond as saying the Brits have concluded there is a significant possibility that Saturday's crash that killed 224 people was caused by a bomb on board the aircraft. An Egyptian affiliate of the militant group ISIS has claimed responsibility. So far, officials investigating the crash have not been able to verify that claim. Turning to domestic politics, they greeted GOP candidate Donald Trump and Democrat Martin O'Malley on day one, and today they'll be back to send a message to Marco Rubio and other presidential candidates about GUI, in short for governing under the influence. You can't be on the New Hampshire ballot for president unless you first register with the Secretary of State. As the candidates arrive, Eric Zulawski with the American Friends Service Committee says they are delivering a dose of reality to the candidates regardless of their party affiliation.
For a couple of weeks, the New Hampshire State House is going to be the center of the universe. So activists that are concerned about the influence of corporations in our government are going to be stepping into the middle of that.
American Friends is backing the GUI campaign, which is intended to show what they call the harmful political influence of corporations that profit from war and from prisons. They will be there today with banners waving as Republicans Marco Rubio and Carly Fiorina and Democrat Bernie Sanders are expected at the New Hampshire State House. After months of community protests, Duke Energy announced Wednesday it was abandoning plans to create a new transmission line and substation in western North Carolina and upstate South Carolina. More on the move from Stephanie Carson.
The largest electric power holding company in the U.S., Duke says it will replace the coal plant in Asheville with two smaller natural gas units instead of one large one, which enables them to respond to concerns about the impact of the construction. Julie Mayfield is co-director of Mountain Drew, and this week was elected to Asheville City Council.
We came together as a community and sent Duke a united message that what they had proposed was not consistent with our vision for the future of our region, and they listened.
Duke says Western North Carolina is growing faster than most other areas in the state, and increased energy production is needed to meet energy demands. While environmental groups largely applaud the announcement, there remains concern about the fact that natural gas, a non-renewable, will still be largely relied upon for the company's energy production.
The new plan will require increased energy efficiency, and it maintains plans for a solar power plant on the new site as well. Asheville's coal units are scheduled for retirement by the year 2020. The U.S. State Department said no Wednesday to a request from TransCanada to put the review of the proposed Keystone XL oil pipeline on hold. Reuters reports environmental groups quickly praised the State Department move, urging President Obama to follow up by rejecting the pipeline. And reaching out for help is a challenge for almost anyone with substance abuse problems. Mary Sherman says that's especially so for teenagers.
Professionals with Health Partners of Western Ohio are screening students who come into the school-based health center at Lima High School by using something known as the ESPERT tool. Jolene Joseph with the center explains students answer simple questions about risky behaviors, and a social worker reviews the results one-on-one.
And then we go into a more in-depth assessment to find out what else may be going on and kind of looking more at an in-depth perspective, and then develop and devise a plan with their medical provider in collaboration with the student on what that treatment plan may need to look like.
Students give permission to share the results with the school, their family, and medical professionals, and they, as a team, develop an appropriate plan of intervention. In the first year of using ESPERT, Joseph says about 1 in 4 students screened admitted using alcohol or drugs in the past 90 days. There is a negative correlation between alcohol and drug use and academic achievement, according to the CDC.
Finally, dozens of citizens took to the podium at a meeting of federal, state, and tribal agencies in Wyoming this week to denounce a plan to take Yellowstone area grizzlies off the federal endangered species list. Suzanne Potter has our report.
The Yellowstone Subcommittee of the Interagency Grizzly Bear Committee has recommended the delisting. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the bear population has rebounded, and the states of Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana are clamoring for a return of state control. But Bonnie Rice with the Sierra Club says delisting the bears and letting the states decide their fate would threaten full recovery.
And all 3 states do plan to immediately initiate a trophy hunt for grizzly bears if they are delisted. And we feel that these bears should not be hunted. The population can't sustain a trophy hunt.
Rice says the grizzly bears in Yellowstone are under stress because their primary food sources, whitebark pine and cutthroat trout, have declined in recent years. She says the bears are replacing their normal diet with elk carcasses and livestock, leading to more conflict with hunters and ranchers.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expected to release a proposal to delist the grizzlies in the next few months. There will be a public comment period and then a final decision in 2016. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. Tar sands, the filthiest, most carbon-intense oil on the planet, from Canada and North Dakota, are slated to cross northern Minnesota in pipelines. The proposal, called the Sandpiper, would establish a new energy corridor through the state and wild rice country of northern Minnesota, moving up to 1.3 million barrels of oil a day across the state, with more pipelines expected to be added in the future. On September 14th in 2015, in a unanimous 3-0 decision, the Minnesota Court of Appeals revoked the Certificate of Need for the Sandpiper Pipeline and required the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, the PUC, to complete a full environmental impact statement before proceeding with the permitting process. The court found that the lack of an EIS constituted a violation of the Minnesota Environmental Protection Act. However, Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson filed an appeal to the Minnesota Superior Court in an attempt to overturn the ruling. Northern Minnesota is home to the Anishinaabe, who are Chippewa, Ojibwa, and Cree. The White Earth Reservation was set aside as a homeland for the Anishinaabe. The White Earth Reservation is the headwaters of the Mississippi River, a refuge for timber wolves, free-range buffalo, and Manoman, wild rice, the food that grows on water, promised to the Anishinaabe people by the Great Spirit. The Court of Appeals found that the PUC was making decisions without following state law because it did not take into consideration the environmental justice impacts of building new pipelines. The PUC process is flawed because it relies on a self-serving environmental document prepared by Enbridge, the contractor, and a review by the Department of Commerce that glosses over the risks of building a new pipeline corridor across our most pristine lakes and wild rice beds and the headwaters of the Mississippi River. Amazingly, the PUC does not consider the full impacts of pipeline construction and likely oil spills on wild rice and disregards tribal governments and native peoples by refusing to hold hearings within tribal communities. The 1855 Treaty Authority gives the tribes fishing, hunting, and gathering rights and the responsibility to care for the environment. Our responsibility as the people here is to take care of that land and to take care of that rice and to take care of everything the Creator gave us, said Winona LaDuc, a White Earth tribal member and two-time Green Party vice presidential candidate. The issue is, how are you going to be able to eat your rice if there's oil in it? The Attorney General's attack shows that she does not think that the state should prepare an environmental impact statement when it determines the need for a pipeline. Apparently, her position is that the state should not consider the climate change impacts of importing more of the most carbon-intensive oil on the planet from the Bakken in North Carolina and the tar sands in Canada, much less fully consider alternatives to this dirty fuel, such as more fuel-efficient vehicles or renewable energy. Given the impact that oil pipelines have on Minnesota's and the world's environment, why would Minnesota's Attorney General think that a full environmental review is not necessary? As in Minnesota, Apache Leap in Arizona targeted for copper mining, and San Diego's East County where energy projects scarred the land, the battle to save our Mother Earth from exploitation and extreme extraction is raging in Indian Country, Mother Earth's first line of defense. This is Leon Thompson for Tribal Beat on East County Magazine.
Nearly $5,000 was raised at an October benefit event to help fund search efforts to find Elijah Bear Diaz, who has been missing since August 29th from his El Cajon home. The event, which drew 218 guests, was held at the La Chapa Clubhouse near Barona Resort and Casino in Lakeside. The funds will help the family hire a private investigator. Some guests wore Bring Bear Home t-shirts. The event included dinner, an open mic night, raffle, and music. Elijah's grandfather, Beaver Kuro, and his uncle, Pat Kuro, played their guitars and sang together. Then the chair of the Barona Band of Mission Indians, Clifford La Chapa, godfather to Bear's mother, spoke. He likened the situation to the anguish his own family suffered when his son, Matt, suffered a heart attack while pitching for the Padres as a minor league baseball player some years ago. Matt La Chapa remains in a wheelchair with disabilities from that unexpected crisis. Another fundraiser is planned on December 4th at Harvest Church in Lakeside, where an artist will teach guests how to paint. All proceeds will go toward the search for Bear Diaz. Bear's mother, Leilani Thompson, told East County Magazine that people who want to attend that event, donate, or learn other ways to help the family can visit the Bring Bear Diaz homepage on Facebook.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. The East County Magazine show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes guitar concerts, a planned extravaganza, the Toast of East County featuring local wineries, the Ramona Art and Wine Festival, and a pumpkin chunkin' contest.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including a harmonica concert, Wrangler at Red Mountain Ranch Dinner Theater, a storytelling celebration, and the Mother Goose Parade.
The Grossmont Guitar Guild will present the O'Dam Guitar Duo in a Tour of Italy concert on November 6th at 7 p.m. The concert will be held in Cuyamaca College Performing Arts Theater.
This year's Ramona Art and Wine Festival will feature 15 local wineries, artists, vendors, and chefs on November 7th from 12 noon till 5 p.m. at a new expanded location at Beegent Ranch. Hand-painted barrels will be auctioned to benefit the Ramona Heart Mural Project. For more information and tickets, visit RamonaArtAndWineFest.net.
Guitarist Ruben Delgado will perform a free concert at the San Pasquale Tasting Room in downtown La Mesa on November 7th, starting at 7 p.m. He plays classical, Spanish, Latin, popular guitar music, and also writes his own music.
The Water Conservation Garden celebrates the fall planting season with the 2015 Fall Plant Extravaganza on Saturday, November 7th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The event aims to help San Diego gardeners make the most of the fall planting season with a plentiful mix of gardening experts and plants offered by local growers and nurseries. The garden's gift shop will also be overflowing with unique nature-inspired treasures that are perfect for gift-giving. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
Local East County vintners will have their wines highlighted at the inaugural Toast to East County on Sunday, November 8th at Cottonwood Golf Club in El Cajon from 1 to 4 p.m. In addition to area wines, the public will have a chance to sample other locally produced foods, including olives and honey. There will also be foods from local restaurants and a variety of beers from local craft brewers. For tickets and details, visit eastcountychamber.org.
The second annual Alpine Educational Foundation Punkin' Chunkin' will be held on Sunday, November 8th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. to benefit Alpine schools. This family-friendly educational fundraiser requires teams to create a launching device to chunk their pumpkins for accuracy and distance while competing for nearly $2,000 in cash prizes for distance and accuracy. The event will be held at the Joan McQueen Middle School. For details, visit aef4kids.net.
Moxie Theater in San Diego, just east of La Mesa on El Cajon Boulevard, will present The Curious Case of Watson Intelligence, running through December 4th. The play tells the tale of four companions in a time-jumping tribute. Watson, the trusty sidekick to Sherlock Holmes, a loyal engineer who built Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone, an unstoppable supercomputer that became the reigning Jeopardy champ, an amiable techno-dweeb who is looking for love. For tickets and details, visit moxietheater.com. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Robert Bonfiglio regularly performs with the world's top orchestras and symphonies, including the Boston Pops and the National Symphony at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Called the Paganini of the harmonica by the Los Angeles Times, Bonfiglio dazzles audiences worldwide with his constant reinvention of the harmonica. With his trio of Stephen Benson on guitar and Joe Denenzon on the electric seven-string violin, they will perform classical, blues, and jazz. Robert has appeared on CBS Sunday Morning, The Today Show, Larry King, and Regis and Kathy Lee. The concert will be held at the Ramona Performing Arts Center on the campus of Olive Pierce Middle School on November 14th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and details on this and other upcoming events, visit RamonaConcerts.com.
The Circo Players at El Cajon will be performing Wrangle at Red Mountain Ranch November 13th and 14th at 7 p.m. and November 15th at 2 p.m. This mystery dinner theater is set at a dude ranch, and attendees are encouraged to wear their Western attire and have a rip-and-roaring good time. Performance will be held at Richardson Hall in El Cajon. All tickets include a barbecue meal. For reservations or information, email thecircleplayers@gmail.com. The Circle Players is a part of a neighbor-to-neighbor program of the First Presbyterian Church of El Cajon.
Connect La Mesa invites you to bring your family and friends to a fun and interactive block party on Saturday, November 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Farmers Market parking lot on Allison Avenue in La Mesa. There will be something for everyone in the community, including a bicycle rodeo for kids, bring a bicycle and a helmet, design competitions for teens and adults, interactive games and design booths, food trucks, fingerprinting for children, LED light bulbs at discount rates, a guided walk, a geocache contest, and prizes, giveaways, information, and resources for being clean, green, and active in La Mesa.
Celebration is a global celebration of the art of oral storytelling. A smorgasbord of stories is awaiting you, told by some of San Diego's best professional tellers, representing the storytellers of San Diego, presenting traditional folk tales, literary works, and original stories on Saturday, November 14th at the Santee Summit Universalist Unitarian Fellowship. For details, visit storytellersofsandiego.org.
The annual Mother Goose Parade, always the weekend before Thanksgiving, will be Saturday, November 21st at 10 a.m. The parade includes over 100 colorful and exciting parade entries, such as floats, marching bands, giant helium balloons, clowns, eloquent equestrians, special guests, and of course Santa Claus at the end of the parade. For more information, visit the Mother Goose Parade website at mgpelcajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like to add to our calendar, or if you'd like to be a sponsor of the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
For over a century, members of the Ku Klux Klan have terrified and tormented minorities in the United States. Now Klan members are getting a taste of the fear they have long dished out. Anonymous, the noted hacktivist, has launched a mission of unmasking, or rather unhooding, members of the Ku Klux Klan. On Monday, the group released identities of the organization's members, including four U.S. senators said to have affiliations with the racist hate group. Dan Coats from Indiana, John Cornyn from Texas, John Hardy from Georgia, and Thomas Tillis from North Carolina. At least one person identified as a KKK member, a Tennessee mayor, has denied membership in the organization. On Sunday, Anonymous announced launch of its offensive in a release stating, "Today we have shut down servers, gotten personal information on members of the KKK, and infiltrated your Twitters and websites. And this is just the beginning. On November the 4th, we will be having a Twitter storm spreading awareness about the operation. And on the 5th, we shall release more than 1,000 Ku Klux Klan members' names and websites, new and old." A second group that calls itself Amped Attacks on Twitter announced launch of its Hoods Off campaign and claimed that it hacked and took offline many KKK-affiliated websites. In response, one KKK group tweeted a suggestion to hold an anti-anonymous protest of the unhoodings of its followers, including a march on November 5th. In turn, Anonymous fired back on Twitter, asking why the group was so edgy, adding, "Even ISIS doesn't cry this much when we wreck them."
In the wake of a New York Times expose, consumer advocates are speaking out against the corporate practice of putting forced arbitration clauses into contracts, saying it puts victims of fraud at a major disadvantage. The clauses say if wrongdoing is alleged, people have to go to mediation rather than to court. The clauses are everywhere these days, tucked into the fine print for credit cards, loans, cable contracts, doctor visits, online sales, and even nursing homes. Elise Sanguinetti, who works with the American Association for Justice and the Consumer Attorneys of America, says there's a lot people could do to fight back.
First is to pressure their elected officials to pass the Arbitration Fairness Act and demand that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau issue rules to ban forced arbitration in financial contracts, and that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid ban forced arbitration against nursing homes.
Supporters of mandatory arbitration say it cuts down on frivolous lawsuits. Senator Al Franken of Minnesota reintroduced a bill to ban arbitration clauses in certain contracts earlier this year, but it hasn't come to a vote. Franken says he wants to stop corporate interests from taking advantage of consumers, many of whom don't realize they've signed away their rights.
These guys are bad guys. And it's about the right of people to go to court. It's in the Constitution. It's in two amendments in the Bill of Rights.
The New York Times investigation found 4 out of 5 federal cases that went to arbitration between 2010 and 2014 were decided in favor of the company, and it found that a coalition of credit card companies and retailers has been strategizing for a decade to block class action lawsuits. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine, and my special guest today is Carmen Bonilla, and she is with WheelchairDancers.org. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor.
Tell me, how did Wheelchair Dancers organization get started?
The Wheelchair Dancers organization was started back in 2008 by our founder, Chief Executive Officer Beverly Worthing. She was diagnosed with limb girdle muscular dystrophy, and through Sharp Grossman Hospital Foundation, she was encouraged to begin dancing again in a wheelchair.
So she was previously a dancer, and then she became wheelchair bound and started this organization for wheelchair dancers.
Yes, that's exactly right. She began with a few students at a time, and we've grown to sometimes 40 to 60 students at a time.
And this all started in 2008?
Yes, sir, in 2008, and we've gone full force since then.
Now, was this the first ever wheelchair dancers?
It was the first one in the West Coast that I'm aware of, yes, sir. It's an amazing organization. You can check our website, www. Wheelchair Dancers Organization, and check to see our videos and our large contingency of dancers.
And recently you won an award.
Oh, yes, we did. We were awarded the Breaking Away Award of Excellence, which was founded by KUSI and Torrey Pines Bank. We are the first organization recognized for this award.
Wonderful. And what does that mean, the Breakaway Award? What was that?
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. We founded this organization, like I said, back in 2008, and we broke away to the point where we are today. And matter of fact, we just had an event on the 29th of August that brought in over 400 individuals to see our organization and to support us.
And I hear you danced on the television.
We sure did. We challenged Brad Perry from KUSI to dance in a wheelchair, and he took us up on the challenge. And they did a whole 2 hours coverage on live Good Morning San Diego.
How did he do?
Oh, he did really well. He is such an amazing person. But we've had such a great time with him. But we had an opportunity to show our public what the organization is all about and the preparations that it takes for us to put on such a big event.
What are the benefits to the wheelchair dancers?
Well, there's different things that a person can get out of it. It all depends on their ability and capability. We concentrate on upper body and core strength. It has increased the balance, the endurance, and even the respiratory control of a person. The range of motion, muscle tone. It has also increased self-confidence. We have dancers that have started with us, and today are very open, very smiling, and they're, oh my God, the continuous effort that they put into the classes themselves. We can see the actual change in a person from day one to where they are today.
So it benefits even the walkers.
But of course, I mean, I have to speak from experience. When I first came to the dancing, to one of the classes, I came in as a volunteer. I danced twice with them, and the actual the self-gratification that I get out of being a part of such a great organization, to be able to help someone to reach those goals, gives me an opportunity to catch up with my dancing and my ability to be a giver.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And you're a Latina and you're a dancer.
Well, yes.
So did you find a home here or what?
Oh, well, of course I did. I not only found a home with the dancing, but I also found a home with the past experience that I've had to work with nonprofits and to do something for the community and to give them something that I can afford to do, which is my time, my efforts, and my experience.
The organization has both standing dance volunteers as well as wheelchair-bound volunteers. So you actually have what you call walkers.
Yes.
And rollers.
Yes.
So you're doing walk and roll.
Yeah, you could actually say that's what exactly what it is. Wheelchair dancers are confined to wheelchairs. So therefore, we call them rollers because they're rolling around in the dance floor.
Yes.
Walkers are our standers, which are persons like myself that are not confined to a wheelchair that are dancing with the partners. So we call them walkers and rollers.
Now, this art of dancing with walkers and rollers, you've brought this to a new level.
We sure have. We have our dance instructor, Joe Torres, has designed dances that are based with the cha-cha, the lindy, and waltz, adapted them to dancing with a roller so that it's easy for us to understand the spacing that it needs to have, the timing that it has. He's very, very knowledgeable in that area. So we're very glad that he's become a standard part of our organization for sure.
What has been the impact of Wheelchair Dancers Organization since its inception and since 2008? And what are some of your accomplishments?
Well, just the fact that we're reaching people with physical challenges by teaching them forms of different dance areas, that's a major one. The changes in their physical, mental, and emotional stability is another one. And I think that we've made a great impact in that. And not just for our rollers, but our walkers as well. Because I, for one, walk away there with a big smile every time I participate.
So what's up in the future for Wheelchair Dancers Organization?
Well, let me tell you. First of all, our classes began on Thursday the 17th, and they go through November the 5th. They're going to be held from 10 until 12. They're going to be at the Parque de la Cruz Gymnasium at 3901 Landis Street in San Diego. We're always looking for walkers, so please check our website for those classes. Now, in September 24th at 5 o'clock, we are going to be at the Oregon Pavilion, and we're going to be the first organization to be asked to open up with a five-minute medley of the Beach Boys songs for the ISA World Adaptive Surfing Championship.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Is that, are you going to do that on the beach?
No. We're doing it in the Oregon Pavilion.
Oh, okay.
As a means of bringing everyone through Balboa Park, which, you know, are celebrating a centennial this year.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's a real honor then.
Yes, it is.
That's wonderful. What is your website one more time?
www.wheelchairdancers.org.
Well, that's easy to remember.
And yes, it
says
is.
Everything about you, doesn't it? And it says that you're a nonprofit. We appreciate you coming, and is there anything that we've not covered or that you wanted to say that we haven't got to?
Well, we want everyone to know that we are doing so many different things. December 12th, we're part of the Nice Guys Christmas Party. We've been asked 3 years in a row to come back and be a part of that event. And also in February, we're going to be with the Los Angeles Abilities Adaptive Expo, where we will be performing 3 days in a row, plus we will have a booth at the expo. So we look forward to everyone coming out there and supporting this great organization.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to be here.
The County of San Diego is offering free sand and bags to residents in unincorporated communities, now available at 15 fire stations, more places than ever before. Even more locations are scheduled to be added in the coming weeks. Just bring a shovel and you'll be good to go. Because of the historic drought, increased rains that El Nino is expected to bring could also mean higher risk of flooding and soil erosion, especially in places that are not covered by vegetation. Water runoff, mud, and debris swept downstream by rains can damage homes, clog storm drains, cause flooding, and damage roadways. If your property has slopes, you can use mulch, terrace the slopes, plant ground covers and shrubs to keep hills from eroding. You can get free sand and bags at fire stations in Alpine, Bonita, Boulevard, Deleuze, Dulzura, El Cajon, Fallbrook, Julian, Palomar Mountain, Palma Valley, Rincon, Ramona, Valley Center, and Warner Springs. For more information on how to stay safe during flooding, you can check ReadySanDiego.org.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, is urging all Californians to buy flood insurance before the torrential rains forecast due to El Nino conditions strikes. Even those who live in areas at low to moderate risk of flooding should buy flood insurance and do so immediately, since there is a 30-day waiting period before policies take effect, FEMA advises. If there was ever a time to buy flood insurance, this is the time, FEMA's Deputy Associate Administrator for Insurance and Mitigation told reporters at a press conference last week. Flood insurance also provides coverage for damage from mudslides, such as those that buried hundreds of cars on Interstate 5 and State Route 58 recently. The average flood claim last year for residential properties was over $39,000, yet flood insurance costs about $700 a year. With possibly the wettest winter in recent memory forecast to begin in a month or so, signing up for flood insurance could be a very wise investment to protect your home. Standard homeowner policies do not cover flooding caused by rainfall, mudflows, or disasters such as hurricanes or tropical storms, so Congress created the National Flood Insurance Program that allows homeowners and business property owners to purchase policies to protect themselves in communities that participate with ordinances that reduce risk of flooding per FEMA requirements. Flood insurance covers damage to buildings, but typically does not cover contents unless you secure optional additional coverage. Just a few inches of water from flooding can cause tens of thousands of dollars in damage or even destroy a residence. You can get information on flood insurance and the flood risk where you live at floodsmart.gov. You should also create an emergency response plan for your household. You can get information on preparations to take at the website ready.gov.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Leon Thompson with the Green Scene Report on East County Magazine. Increasingly, San Diegans are drawing power from large desert solar facilities built in Imperial County, with similar facilities slated for the farthest east portions of our county in Boulevard and Hukumba. The projects are being pushed forward to help meet California's ambitious goals to have 40% of electricity from renewables by 2030 under a new law proposed by Governor Jerry Brown. But now a new study by the University of California, Berkeley, finds that reliance on remote solar projects creates environmental problems. Nearly all, 85% of the utility-scale solar energy installations in California have been built in formerly natural environments far away from the urban areas they serve, many near environmentally protected areas or agricultural lands. The study found that 85% of our state's utility-scale solar projects are on sites deemed incompatible by standards of the Carnegie Energy and Environmental Compatibility Model. Stripping bare vast tracts of vegetation actually releases sequestered carbon, adding to greenhouse gas emissions, and can destroy habitat for sensitive species. Moreover, transmitted electricity via high-voltage power lines long distances is inefficient, resulting in significant power loss. Locally, rural residents have also complained about depletion of groundwater resources by construction of the massive sites, as well as fire hazards and loss of rural character. UC Berkeley researcher Rebecca Hernandez led the study. KPBS reports that Hernandez concludes, a compatible solar energy power plant should be sited in places like a commercial warehouse rooftop, over parking lots, or residential houses.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Kevin McLeod. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.